podcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is season 7, episode 11, episode number 281. How is it going?
Good.
It goes.
Yeah?
I'm sitting at a desk in my office.
In your house. Woohoo!
In my house.
It looks very spacious. It looks like a very spacious room.
There's a little couch that I moved in there myself.
Love that!
Everything else. We did some rearranging with Frank. We need some more bookshelves. That's the moral of that story.
Yeah, I think you need.
But we're working on it.
A sweet IKEA, one of those cool IKEA hacks where you just like build, make a faux built-in out of a IKEA.
Yes,
we're working on it.
And like crown molding. I think you can do it. It'll be great.
Shandy, we did that hack at our townhouse.
Nice.
We could have done it better, but from certain angles it looked right.
Well, you were babes back then.
No, we found a bookcase that we actually both really like for this like big wall, and I think we'll probably get that. We just need to actually do it. But we basically put this room together, and it was funny like putting all the books away. I tried to put all the art history books in like one shelf, and it just didn't work. Just like as I was going through the boxes, there's just like more books and more books, and like, oh, here's some more art history books. Oh, here we go. Oh, there's other oh yeah, I did study that for 6 years. I could fill a whole bookcase with just that.
So we did not record last week, and so much happened. The Queen died, Adnan Syed got released from prison, I feel like lots of things happened. There was a Nazi salute at a Trump rally, things.
Wow, I missed that.
So the QAnon...
But it also just sounds like, isn't that just like...
I know. So essentially the QAnon thing is where we go one, where we go all, and the salute is like holding up a one like this. Uh-huh. So he like gave this, bonkers for him, like even more bonkers than you could have actually pictured Donald Trump doing, like did it sting. And they're playing the QAnon theme song in the background. And at the end of it, like everybody is like, all hailing Trump. Ooh. And it's disgusting and it's awful. And the imagery is not great. So it's
they have a theme song?
Yeah. Everyone has a theme song. Are you really a thing until you have a theme song?
Yes.
I'm just kidding.
What other weird things have theme songs?
I don't know.
Like, what adult organizations have theme songs? Well, I guess the military. They have arguably theme songs. Mm.
And these people do consider themselves soldiers.
Okay, fine. There is some merit to this.
Yeah,
okay.
The storm is coming, Amanda, okay?
I just, I really have to wonder, and this is really sincere. Like, do people, especially, the slightly more moderate-ish-esque people who voted for Trump, do they understand that that's, the beginning of fascism? Understand that?
I hope if they didn't before, they do now. I don't know.
It's kind of mind-boggling.
So the Ken Burns had a documentary that aired this past Sunday night as we record, which would be September.
It is a three-part.
There you go.
The U.S. and the Holocaust. Yeah, it aired this past week. Check it out on whatever PBS app you happen to watch. It's a visual thing. It's a visual medium. Yeah, it looks really good. I have not seen any of it yet myself, but all the press and promo stuff we've been running is really, Amanda Splaining, and she's doing a very terrible job at it.
We're joined live by the patrons tonight, and Matt said Amanda Splaining. Hello, Brian, Ro, Greg, Matt,
yeah,
thanks for joining us.
Touch. You're away with words.
Everything that I saw last night on Twitter, Twitter was just like, it's that app is free and it is paying for itself in all the ways lately. I mean, the amount of just it's been good since Dark Brandon started, but like woo. But like Twitter was just on fire last night because Meghan Markle Twitter, like, really seriously, like, people are recognizing now just how terribly Meghan Markle was treated and Prince Harry, like, by the British press, and like all the bullshit surrounding the funeral, and like the pettiness towards them. So like that's been all over the place, and then or at least on mine, because I click on all that stuff. I might have ventured into Thirsting for Harry Twitter because that man looked fine in his uniform the other day, and Black Twitter had a party, and I was like, can I just watch from the window, please? And it was wonderful. Anyway, I'm getting hot now. Turn that air back on. Then, you know, we've had the Ron DeSantis stunts, and, you know, maybe we really do need to have a broad topic soon. But Twitter also was tweeting all about the Biden 2020 interview last night. This is what I was getting at. And the Ken Burns documentary, which is how I knew about it. Meanwhile,
it was on 60 Minutes?
No. They were tweeting about both because they were both yesterday came out.
Yeah.
I've been watching, in preparation for the Adnan hearing today, the documentary that came out on HBO Max in 2019, which I swear came out this year, but it didn't. It came out in 2019.
Yeah, 2019 does sound like way too early.
I don't.
If it does feel more recent, but I mean, that's because of the 2020 black hole, probably.
Right. Yes. Everyone was too busy. Yeah. Watching a Tiger King.
Yeah, so the era of Tiger King was upon us. And all of our brains got collectively washed out.
Give me all the junk food TV. That's what I need right now. I can't handle anything else.
No, but it's a good documentary. And I have always been in the Adnan is guilty camp because I've always felt, and I've explained this on this show at least twice before, that I always thought that the state got the entire timeline wrong. And if you free up the timeline, then there's plenty of time for Adnan to do it, right? Like, if the timeline's wrong, and because he couldn't have done it in that, like, little timeline, but, like, once you expand the timeline, then there's time for him to do it. Anyway, I am willing to admit now that I very likely could have been incorrect based on the, you know, the evidence that was discovered that the initial prosecution deliberately withheld. I am willing to admit that I could have been wrong.
Well, you were working with the information you had at the time.
Yeah. I know. And that was in an era where I still trusted that. Because even watching the documentary, they interview some of the people and they maintain that their story is true. So you're like, okay, well then, you know, they maintain that their stories are true, that, like, you know, they knew about the burying the body and all that stuff. And 8 years ago when Serial came out, I was still very much under the, like, naivete that people still told the truth. And now I'm like, fuck this, everybody lies.
Not everybody, but a large portion of the population. Yes. A larger than we care to, as good people.
Exactly.
That's a terrible thing to say.
It's been a rough 8 years.
More than I care to admit how much, how many liars there are out there.
Greg in the chat says, what do you think about the info on the two other suspects, including one making threats and her car being found next to one of their homes? I believe it was in a field behind or next to the one of their, like, grandmother's or great aunt's or somebody's home. It was a relative's home. I think that's pretty damning information. And I think it's pretty fucked up to hide that just to, you know, make your own case. I do recommend the documentary, though. I've only watched three, but spoiler alert, I know how it ends.
How many parts are there?
Four. So okay, if we finish this, there. I'm almost there. And I got about 10 minutes in, Jay picked the kids up today. So I got about the first 10 minutes in before they all got home. So if we finish this show at a reasonable hour, which we will, I promise, Shandy, I'm probably going to finish it tonight, hopefully. So,
My computer might finish this show.
That's very true.
It might end the show early. So.
But it does sound.
Sporting hat behind your head?
Sure is.
It is a sorting nice. Hat. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. It was a gift from a class.
Oh, I love
like
that.
Embroidered with the class number and stuff.
That's awesome.
Class gift. Yeah. That's very thoughtful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I made them all like take the Pottermore test and sort themselves into their houses. And so they knew from day one that I was kind of a crazy person.
Into but, that.
Or just a really fun teacher that is trying to make learning fun.
Thanks.
Or that.
Greg anyway, also continue. Has... No, that's okay.
Adnan's free. Woo.
Adnan's free. Woohoo. I do think, though, that it's suspect. I listen to Undisclosed. I hate stopping listening to Undisclosed because they just bother me. Like, they all have, as somebody who is a very pushy, steamrolling person over audio form, turns out I don't like listening to three people do that to each other. Because they're all steamrollers. And that's why I kind of stopped in the first place. But I went back to re-listen to it, and I think they don't name the suspects, Greg, that you mentioned in the briefing, in the court filing, rather. But it does sound like it is the dude that found the body is one of the suspects, and so...
I didn't even listen to Serial. To, like, hear you, like, talk about
Serial
that,
didn't like, cover a lot of this. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Serial didn't cover a lot of this stuff. It was discovered by the Undisclosed podcast after, but yeah.
But even so, like, I binged Serial 100% and remember zero details.
Yeah,
like,
none. Very little.
Gotcha.
It was 8 years ago, you know? It was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. And Greg asked, do you think Serial do a super random episode about this happening? Yes, they're actually, Sarah Koenig was in the courthouse and they tweeted that there will be a new episode of Serial out tomorrow, AKA a few days ago.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah.
I wonder if I'm still subscribed.
Yes.
I never unsubscribed to anything, so I'm sure it'll.
Yeah, I'm still subscribed. Speaking of Serial, I finally watched that Vengeance movie. It's free on Peacock.
Oh, damn it. I need Peacock. I really want to watch that.
What this is. What are we telling you?
BJ Novak's story that he's yes! doing a true crime podcast. Yeah.
Yes, that looks so good. Yes.
It's
okay,
really good.
Now.
It is both what I expected and makes very interesting, like, choices that I didn't expect. And we watched it on Saturday, and I really went to bed. It made me think at the end. Like, I went to bed thinking about it. But we laughed a lot, too, because it's really funny. John Mayer, of all people, actually has a hilarious cameo in the first scene where he's just...
John Mayer is funny. Like, he's a douche. But I feel like he can be funny and charming.
And he's making fun of his douchiness in it. Mm. And I kind of wonder if the whole scene is, like, partly ad-libbed because they're kind of doing, it's not this, but they're sort of doing in the style of, like, you know how I know that you know that she's gay? Thing, you know, from 40-Year-Old Virgin? They're sort of doing a bit like that, but obviously it's not as, you know, not okay as that was now. It's basically based on, you know, them being, like, you know, fuckboys, essentially.
Gotcha.
But it's a really good movie if you have Peacock. I do recommend checking it out. It's really good. And then we also watched the Nicolas Cage movie. The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent with Pedro Pascal, where Nicolas Cage is playing himself. Hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. We rented it for like $1.99 on iTunes. We were actually looking for something to watch. Nothing that was free was catching our eye. And then we were like, okay, well, what's the cheapest thing we can rent on iTunes? And we were like, sold!
So I have to think that the title is a reference to The Unbearable Lightness of Being.
Probably. It's a satire movie.
I was trying to think, you know, what would that be like if I saw the movie? Like, I would have to, because I've read that book, but then I was like, much like Serial, I certainly did read it. I remember zero things about it, except that it was long and hard to get through.
Okay, well, this is definitely not like that. It's a comedy. Brian says fun flick. It's essentially Nicolas Cage is playing Nicolas Cage. He needs money, and he essentially has himself an adventure. Like, this rich guy wants to hire him to come stay with him, and that's all he knows. And the rich guy is Pedro Pascal, and who is the Mandalorian. And it's hilarity ensues. It's very funny. Like, it's like your comedy action flick, if that makes sense, where, like, you know, there's action in it, but of course, you know, it's like hijinks action and, like, just really funny. Like, I don't want to spoil anything more, but I super recommend it. Greg also said I enjoyed it. Fun stuff. It's just really fun. Like, if you want a mindless movie to just watch and laugh at, it's like that.
Nice.
Yeah. So
nice. I watched a Christmas movie.
Yes, we need to add this to our list.
Because it's Dumber.
Yes.
Why not?
There were a lot of really fun appearances in it.
Which, what was it called again?
It's called Let It Snow. It came out in 2019.
I remember seeing it, like, I think last year watching it, like, popped up, and it was just, like, I never got around to it.
Yeah, yeah.
But glad to hear you.
It was fun.
Okay, maybe I'll.
Yeah, Janet was in it. Sabrina was there. Some other fun people. Can't remember. I did fall asleep towards the beginning of it, but I think that was just because I was tired.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can always rewatch it as it gets closer to.
Exactly. And it's, like, you know, it's. I think a good Christmas movie is one that you can fall asleep during part of it. And, like, it's still fine.
Yeah. We should add that to our list then. And we need to come up with a Halloween movie list, too, by, like, next week. Because we have to watch the movies for our Halloween movie episode on October 18th. And then we will have our Halloween party in costume on the 25th. Oh, I slid those right in there.
You did. That was very good. Very nice.
Yeah. And we will be doing Shakespeare movies on October 4th. And by Shakespeare movies, I mean Shakespeare remade, where we're in the present day, but, like, they're Shakespeare. So Romeo and Juliet, the 1996 version?
Six.
Yes, six.
I think O is on the list. And then the last one we're going to do is the Much Ado About Nothing from the 90s with Emma Thompson. Hey, how was your trip?
It was good. It was good. It was nice to get away for a little bit. It was good.
Your mom posted a lot of really nice pictures.
I know.
She really did. She was just, like, excited to share. But yeah, it was really nice to just spend a week away. It was, like, nice that, like, Eden got to have so much time with her grandparents. And
oh my God, her personality shines through so much in all of your mom's pictures. It's awesome.
Yeah, she's a little firecracker, that one. She's a little firecracker. She's like at that age where she's a lot of fun, but she's also, like, in showing her personality, she's also, like, we're, like, on a full-on sprint to, like, tantrum town. Mm-hmm. So
yes.
It's just, like, a real thicket of, like, toddlerhood that, like, you just don't know what's going to set them off, and then you're like, how did we get here? You're literally sitting in the middle of the street just sobbing, and I don't know how we got here.
Yes. I am sorry. We had a similar incident yesterday at Costco where Zachary was whistling. Alex couldn't figure out a whistle, so he literally sat down in the parking lot of Costco and cried and called himself dumb that he couldn't figure out how to whistle. And I was like, you are 4 and a half. A, you are not allowed to call yourself dumb. And B, Zachary learned how to whistle like 2 weeks ago. So you've got time, kid. Kids, man. You never know what's going on in their brains.
It's tough being little.
It's like, so, you know, tough.
Your brain doesn't have all its wrinkles yet. It's hard. It's a confusing time of life.
Well, thank you, Mama G, for posting all those pictures, because I loved them all of them.
Mm-hmm. It's true. I don't have to post anything because she'll do it for me.
Yes, there you go. And a happy anniversary to your parents.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What year did she say it? What year was it?
1980, so 40...
42.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
It's a good amount of time. It's a good chunk of life. It's a good chunk of life.
Yeah. You could characterize it as that. Oh, awesome. Hey, you know, I meant to mention this before, but with the queen dying, my coworker pointed this out, and I had this moan of like, oh shit, she is going to be the last queen of England that we'll know in our lifetime, because it's only been firstborn male heirs since, like, yeah. That's kind of crazy.
I mean, unless something goes, you know, terribly.
Yeah, but you don't want to think about that.
Exactly.
Because whatever it is probably is not something you want to put out in the universe. Especially not when every planet is in retrograde.
That's fair. I withhold my statement.
I mean, they decided to get rid of the monarchy because it's like the stupidest shit ever and do something with all of that money to like actually help people. Like then that would be okay.
Yeah.
With no longer having a female queen because we just wouldn't have a monarchy. Because seriously, who does that?
I do. Okay, I know that this is bad and I fully hand to God, Beyonce, whatever you believe in, like, I fully feel bad for saying this, but, like, the pictures of the crown and the scepter and whatever that ball thing is called on the coffin, I could not stop zooming in on because they're so beautiful. I'm like, oh, my God.
Of course they're beautiful.
They're so beautiful.
So expensive. Right.
And so bathed in blood. I know we're not supposed to be, like,
bathed in blood.
I know we're not supposed to be mesmerized by them, but, my God, I must have stared at that thing for 45 seconds the other day. I was like, wow, this is, like, incredible.
But that's the point, you know? It's like, yeah. As human beings, it's look at the shiny things to distract yourself from all the dirt that it hides.
Yes. Good point. Okay. Does anybody else have anything?
You know, we'll see. Like, we will not know another Queen of England in our lifetimes, but they're already on their third female prime minister. So
that's true. You know. And she's a real winner.
Maybe we'll
maybe in our lifetime there'll be a progressive female prime minister.
Yes. Right. Exactly.
They'll probably all be conservative.
Yeah, how come the conservatives over there like to elect the
right, it's not really elected though. So like their whole system of government. It's very strange, top to bottom.
It is.
I straight up just
don't know what's going on over there.
But granted, but I have never done any research into it. It just looks very confusing.
Truss is the one
not worth my brain space.
Truss is the one that hated cheese, right? Where she gave that speech like 5 or 6 or 7 years ago with Brexit.
How do you even know that? What? Why?
Okay, you got to Google this when we hang up when we're done. She gave this speech.
Do I know?
Yes,
I did not know her name before.
It involves
the day before she became prime minister. So.
Do
yes, same.
I did not know the cheese.
Also, yeah. Believe that the queen, who was heavily rumored in gossip blogs to actually have had cancer, but never made public, which again was just gossip. But love the idea that the queen held on just to fuck Boris Johnson over, that he wouldn't be the one that was presiding, you know, over all
so
this.
Just be not even a footnote in history,
right? No, but if you Google it when we are done, I believe she's the one that, like, you know, during Brexit or whatever, like, gave a speech about how imported cheese was bad. So, like, she didn't want, like, brie and whatever else coming from, you know, outside of Britain. Like, we're so dependent on other people that we have to eat their cheese. It was, like, some stupid fucking Sarah Palin-esque speech like that.
You can see France from your back.
Exactly. Like, France, oh, cut the cheese. anyway, check it out. It's read about it. You don't have to watch it, but if you're, I'm pretty sure she's the one. Wild.
Dear.
Who hates cheese other than my son Zachary? But like, seriously, who hates
Alice?
Cheese? Alice hates cheese.
Alice does. It's mind-boggling. I don't know how I could have produced a daughter that hates cheese. But
she just hates it. It's not that she's just like, oh, I'm not into it.
She like actively does not eat it. So I guess I would have to ask if she uses the word hate. But I kind of think she detests cheese.
Mm.
She like won't eat things with cheese, and if she has to, it's like ruined for her.
That's like it's most.
I know. I know.
That's pizza. That's like most tacos. That's basically most sandwiches.
Mozzarella sticks?
Yeah.
It's tragic.
Most very good hot dips have some kind of cheese. Bagels.
To be fair, some of those dips is like fake cheese, but still. Did she like cream cheese?
How deep does this? Yeah, exactly. Are we talking cream cheese? Are we talking fake cheese?
I found this on the web. Oh, I'm trying to remember.
Siri, sorry.
Brian may have to chime in. I can't remember her position on cream cheese and like other sort of derivatives, but
like nacho cheese.
Nacho cheese is a no, I would say.
That's such a bummer. It's so good.
It's so good.
I know.
Cheese fries. I mean, we're very different here. I feel like you put cheese on anything and it's a better thing.
Makes it better.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I super agree. We are now joined in the chat by David Gutt. Hello, good evening. And Brian has an answer for you about the Alice thing. I am not fully up to date on the parameters of Alice's cheese tolerances.
Okay. Well, because I know like we've eaten together before, and that was always like a weird surprising revelation. And you know, she's also talked about it on Patreon casts. So I'll have to ask if her thoughts on cream cheese.
Okay, somebody remind us.
I bet it's going to be a no. I'll just text her right now, actually.
Oh, there we go. Stay tuned, everybody.
Earlier in months. Like, my inclination is like, oh, it's really late to be texting someone. Oh, it's like 2 hours earlier in Montana. Yeah. We're good.
All right. Any last bits?
I got an answer back from Alice.
Yes.
Cool.
I asked her thoughts on cream cheese. I can't remember if it's close enough to cheese for you to dislike it. She responded, I hate it. I said that was going to be my guess. And she said, it's definitely close enough to cheese for me. And I said, the other question was, is it really hate or dislike? And I said, hate. And she, in her text, she said, I hate it. And she said, yes, 2 exclamation marks.
Well, there is no ambiguity there.
No. What does she put on a bagel?
Butter.
I feel like if you can't have the cream cheese on the bagel, why eat the bagel?
Maybe she doesn't.
I mean, she lives in Eastern Montana. Well, not
That's
Eastern
true.
Montana.
Yeah, it's not like they got bagels
good that are for good. You. It's not like a nutritious food.
Exactly.
You can live a well-balanced life and probably a better life without bagels.
Yeah, you're probably better without the bagels.
Probably better off, but...
I mean, my guess is, you know, and again, it's technically not Eastern Montana, but in my mind it is. Eastern Montana, Montanans will understand. So it's like, you know, two of our listeners. It's probably, I think maybe what she's eating is more like casseroles and less bagels.
Mm.
But then the casseroles, it's like, typically you put a lot of cheese in it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would casserole
my
like.
My limited experience with casseroles is that they're
limited experience.
Yeah. What?
You did not grow up in Eastern Montana.
I sure didn't. Didn't have the pleasure.
My mom used to make tuna casserole and I actually really loved it.
Oh.
Yeah, I'd be into that.
I would eat it if.
Tater tot casserole.
I'm the only one in my family that likes it, though. So one time I made a tuna casserole for myself, and I ate that shit every single night. And then I wondered, why did I gain all that weight during the pandemic? Because I was doing things like eating tuna casserole by myself every night because my family didn't want it.
Freeze. You kind of like froze half of it. But it was pandemic. So, you know, what do? You ate the whole thing.
I did. Yeah.
Wait, so what's in a tuna casserole? I'm trying to remember because I'm sure I've had it when I was like.
So it's Kraft mac and cheese, lots of tuna fish, milk, lots of cheese, essentially. There's something else that I'm missing.
Mac and cheese and tuna fish and milk. And then you like put it in the oven?
And extra cheese, yeah.
Yeah, like, you put something on top so it crisps up, I would imagine.
Lots of it. Like a whole stick of the cheddar, like your shredded or your cheese of choice. So good.
Yeah. You get you through the winter.
Yeah, sure does.
Sticks to those bones. Yeah, right. Sticks to your bones. As the saying goes, I believe.
Anyway, anything else before we move on? Because I've got something super fun to do.
Ooh.
Well, let's get to it.
I hope it's going to make you all laugh. Okay. So... there's a subreddit called That Time I Fucked Up, and there was this one that went viral a couple of weeks ago, and I tweeted it. So if you saw my Twitter, you know what's coming. This, so full disclosure, I locked myself in my bathroom because one morning when I woke up and read it and laughed hysterically and then had to show Jay, and it was like 7 in the morning, and then he laughed hysterically, and then I was like, oh yes, this is for the broadcast. So here we go. my 20 female girlfriend of 2 years told me the music that I, male 25, play during sex is weird and a major turnoff. A little backstory. When I first started having sex, I researched into ways to be better, as I was a little stiff and pretty much had no idea what I was doing. I read online that you can play music and match the rhythm in order to put on a better performance. I searched lovemaking songs and started slowly creating a playlist in which I was comfortable matching the rhythm.
Okay.
It's not an aerobic workout. Like, it's not jazzercise.
There are a few songs to my playlist. However, there is one song in particular, which actually happens to be my favorite, that my girlfriend... I'm sorry. I'm trying to get through this. Okay. There are a few songs to my playlist. However, there is one song in particular which actually happens to be my favorite that my girlfriend hates and says turns her off in a major way. I don't understand why it has taken her 2 years to tell me she hates the song. It's a good lovemaking song with good rhythm. I feel the way I feel the way I fucked up is I could have possibly asked her previously if she likes the song or any songs she'd like to add or change. But
that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's probably a way you fucked up. But to leave it for 2 years thinking our sex life is great, but in her eyes it is has just been ruined by my music, has left the whole situation feeling awkward, and I'm a little bit annoyed.
Yeah, it's typical of like most relationships.
Right, he's 25. Heterosexual, really. Yeah, he's 25, she's 20.
It's not that great, she's not saying anything.
Exactly.
Yeah, goes on for 2 years, he thinks she's
I pretty much played this tune every single time, so the amount of time she must have not been enjoying it when I thought the complete opposite is annoying, but also embarrassing in ways. Not to mention my previous partners, however, they never complained about the song, so maybe it's just her? Question mark?
It's maybe they also weren't telling you?
Yeah.
Exactly. I feel like the song is a real big euphemism here.
Yeah.
It's fucked up, yes. You know what? Forget it. We're done. Shandy solved it.
Oh, no!
No, I'm joking. But you did solve it. Anyway, it's fucked up the relationship, to be honest, because sex feels awkward now. The other day we were having sex with no music, but I was still thrusting to the tune in my head. She recognized this and asked me to stop. I thought this song was perfect, and I always thrust along with the tune and feel it gives me the perfect rhythm for doing the deed. I usually bust this song and find it devastating she hates the song. TLDR, she hates my love-making tunes and didn't tell me for over 2 years, so sex is now awkward. Okay, are you guys ready to hear the song?
Yes, please.
Yes.
We're not going to do the whole 3 minutes, but we're doing more than 30 seconds. So sit back, relax, get your lube out, and try not to get too horny, because here it goes.
Now I'm picturing them.
Oh, we've tried. You just can't not.
Ooh.
version of like Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairies. So do we know like what the song is? Like
so it's called Hudson Mohawk by the Satin either Satin Panthers or Seabat. I can't really tell.
It's like hold music.
Can you imagine having sex to that for 2 years and not saying anything? And now when he says that she recognized that he was fucking to the beat, of course she recognized fucking to that beat.
Of course. Like, it's a pretty specific beat.
But can you imagine every single time that they have sex that... he has to like go, just a second, let me turn on my playlist.
Right.
It's so weird.
So much for spontaneity.
Yeah.
Or is he like,
I mean, you figure everybody's always carrying around their phone in their pocket. So it's like you kind of always have your Spotify playlist within, you know, arm's reach, I suppose.
That's is that your sex playlist in your pocket or are you just excited?
Right. Shortcut. That's the double tap on the apple. There was everything to use that function for.
I'm not sure he was double tapping her apple though.
No. too much double tapping.
He is way too preoccupied with the thrusting part, and nobody has told him yet that that's not even like the best part of sex.
The important part.
I just keep picturing, and even like every time I'm here, I'm trying to like thrust and like,
it's like if it was a waltz, quick, quick, slow.
In the chat, we've got Rosa Shandy's reaction.
I don't know what I was expecting, but it was not that.
Ryan said this song is better than thinking about baseball. Matt says so many children are going to be conceived thanks to this episode, and Greg says I just conceived a child right now. There was some there were just some amazing comments. I will link to this. Honestly, for the sake of time, I will link to this thread in the show notes, and you can go through all of them. One of my favorites was, I listened to that song and literally have tears in my eyes from cracking up. Thank you for making my day. And my sympathies, dude, for the absolute roasting you're getting in the comment. We'll continue to get in the comment section. I honestly can't imagine how much annoyance she's put up with. My cats left the room and were annoyed hearing the music. I listened to EDM and this man's literally fucked his girl to robot dolphin sounds.
Yes, that's it.
That's exactly what it is.
Dolphin sounds. This sounds like an inflatable clown toy falling down the stairs.
Oh, God.
But it's the comment to this that really, I think I might have actually been happy that I was listening to this the first time on the toilet, because I think I might have peed myself a little. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, I totally had this image of OP slowly unzipping his pants to reveal a slide whistle.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
As Rose said, this comment section truly, truly is amazing. I think it was ultimately determined that this was just a shit post. Because some of his other comments on things were equally, like, made up, but it also wouldn't surprise me if this dude like was some like libertarian shit poster who actually decided to like open himself up for the first time. Oh, I was like, you know what? Maybe the libs have a point, and I'll share my feelings. And like,
oh no, no, we just sent him back in the other direction. It's okay, buddy. Just right. You know, keep going on your self-discovery path.
Yes, change the song. Brian says the high squeaky sounds made me wonder if he was saying pew pew to the beat, you know, to enhance the mood. Oh my god. So anyway, I'm so happy I could share that with you guys. Let's do our commercial break and then we'll do some feedback. And you bet I'm playing the rest of that song out when we finish here. Okay? This is not the last you're hearing of Hudson Mohawk.
Does it have a bridge or is it just that for 3 minutes?
It's basically that. I don't know. We'll find out.
The whole thing.
We'll find out. There's another minute and a half left that we're going to play out.
Oh, God.
All right. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back in a minute. All right. We are back, and we've got quite a bit of feedback to get into. But before we move on, in response to us playing this at the climax of the show, Greg says playing it at the climax of the show seems ideal. Yes,
yeah,
dedicated to you, Reddit poster. Dedicated to you. I believe his name was Tyler.
Of course his name was Tyler. That's like so fitting. I don't know. Sorry to all the Tylers.
All right, let's see. What do we got here in terms of feedback? Mandy says, there was a big debate in our household that reminds me of the sock, sock, shoe, shoe debate. Do you button the button then zip your pants or zip then button your pants?
So I went on a whole journey with this question today.
Yeah.
When I first read it, I was like, obviously you zip and then button. And I couldn't believe that anyone could ever conceive of doing it the other way. Like that was my initial reaction. Just like, how is this even a question? And then at the end of the day, I realized as I like went to the bathroom, the like slacks that I was wearing, I buttoned first and then zipped. And I was like, Mandy. And then I realized, I think for me, I actually do it both ways and it depends on the actual type of pants.
Yeah.
Interesting. I always button then zip.
I think I button then zip too.
The only one I do the reverse of is a pair of jeans I have that's all buttons. Usually I'm not a fan of the full button fly. This is the only pair of pants I own that do that. And then you kind of have to go from the bottom up. You can't like go the other way.
Yeah.
But otherwise it's, it like makes it easier to zipper when you cinch the top.
Absolutely. But for whatever reason, this morning when my first thought was to jeans, and I think that's, it's been a while since I've worn a pair of jeans, but that's how I imagined myself putting on jeans. And I couldn't even conceive of anyone doing it the other way, to then later in the day realize that I myself do it the other way.
I'm going to have to pay attention. I wear
dresses like you just explained
summer.
America's problem right now. I feel like that was just like a metaphor for just America right now.
And I was so sure of it this morning. So sure.
Now I'm not sure of anything, but I can relate to everyone. And if we all just realized we were just like each other. We're all human beings that wear pants. Sort of.
Sometimes.
I'm going to pay attention tomorrow, but I'm pretty sure I button first and then zip up.
But I'm saying also pay attention to different kinds of pants.
That's very
that's
true.
For me.
That is valid.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, I would love to hear what everybody else does out there because this is super fun. So do you?
Yeah, and Mandy, please tell us.
Yeah, I need to know where everyone in the household falls on this.
Yeah, you can just leave us hanging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Follow up.
I'm assuming she was trying not to influence us, but now we have to know.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, now that we've answered, you answer. Your turn. Tag, you're it. Matt says, the book I was thinking of when we were talking about from Russian Doll, where she has the line about how, did you know that the Nazis were all on, like all methed out? And I was like, yeah, didn't everybody know that? It's Blitzed, Drugs in Nazi Germany by Norman Ohler. That was the book I was thinking of, and that had to have been the book that Nadia was referencing. So thanks for looking that up for me, Matt. And then he also said he checked out The Woman King this weekend.
It was really good. I wanted to go this weekend, but I didn't. Sorry.
Well, if you go, let us know.
Okay. Please do.
Solid action scenes and proof that Viola Davis can do anything.
She really can. She's just the best.
Yes. Dennis said, we've been watching and enjoying A League of Their Own as well. Surprisingly, Mary Ellen ID'd the bar owner in Second's flat. That was, spoiler alert, Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh, I haven't gotten there yet. Started it 3 episodes in. Nice. Very much enjoy it.
Yes, it's great.
Yeah. Yeah, I still haven't started it. What platform is it on?
Amazon Prime.
Okay.
Super recommended. It's really, really good. And then we are 2 weeks behind on Matt's What She Said. So, all right. We're going to try to do you justice, Matt. Whew, I should have gotten the second drink. All right, here we go.
It's my turn.
Drake was watching us.
It's very warm. I don't know why I'm doing this.
I was soaked.
Note to self. Gotta get on that.
Halfway through, I give it 2 thumbs up.
I don't know why I'm using my hands so much.
Thank you guys for doing it. I really appreciate it.
It's always nerve-wracking when you don't do that for a while, and you gotta be with it, says the dude who can only have sex to one song.
I sure didn't, but I'm doing it now. Doing it live.
Doing it live. I just figured I'd wait until after, so you could just insert it.
I'm gonna let it ride.
I spent most of Friday not doing them.
I did them a different way this year.
Let's get some music and do this right.
Oh, I got a tune for you.
I'll bring the tools.
I can't believe it took that long.
I just didn't have the stamina.
I guess we're going to do that at 4:30.
Come whenever.
Eventually, we do need a bed.
Let's take our break now so we can go all the way to the end.
I went down a rabbit hole when I finished.
We need to be satisfied in the end.
I understand why it was a little short.
We're all used to happy endings, and I was being a bit of a baby for not getting mine.
I think we're willing to go up to 3. Thank you, Matt. We're pretty funny. Mm-hmm. We have both intentionally and unintentionally say funny things. we do have a couple of emails for feedback. The first email is from JJ, and he says, not my JJ, different JJ, questions for marriage proposal. Since I turned 32 in May, my parents have been on my case almost every day about getting married. I'm of Indian descent, and families are involved in the process of marriage because after you are married to both families, basically becoming one bigger family. So basically like how courting in Downton Abbey works, except instead of family money, jobs is the qualifier. Family status is a big thing, and anything you do must keep or elevate how the community sees your family. I finally got my life in order to settle down and eventually have a family, but the pandemic happened literally 2 months into me dating again. Currently, the fact I'm not married yet is the problem my entire family, parents, uncles, and aunts have decided needs to be taken care of. So, I'm getting pictures and information about single girls every day from them, kind of like a tailored dating app with girls my family approve of. A question for you gals is, any questions and topics I should discuss to ensure a fruitful marriage? So?
Well, I would say question number one is, what kind of music do you like to listen to while you have sex?
Obviously.
Yeah, have you heard of Hudson Mohawk?
Follow-up question.
No, but seriously, I think some topics to discuss would be... like financial situations, not financial situations, but like, you know, how do you see marriage working, like financially, like, do you want to share a bank account? Does one person want to stay home if you have kids? You know, does she also want to work? How, what would children, what kind of children do you mm-hmm. want to have children? What kind of child care? Do you want, how do you fight when things get overwhelming? You know, like your love languages, like, for instance, something that Jay and I have learned over the last, you know, 15 years we've been together is I'm a person that when we have a fight, I want to solve it immediately. But he is a person that needs to go take 15 minutes and cool down because he doesn't stop. He doesn't stop right away like I do. Like, he needs to separate himself and then come back. What else? What are some other things?
Just like where, I mean, sometimes hard to say, but like, where do you see yourself? Not like, where do you see yourself in 5 years, but like, literally,
what do you want marriage? Like, what
you
want
to, yeah, yeah, you want to live like close to your family, or like, do you want to, in your life, would you be interested in moving somewhere else altogether? Or because, like, if that's one of her goals and it's not yours, then that's probably not gonna work,
right? Yeah. Right,
overall, you're like, your values and sort of what is important to you,
right?
Yes,
and also, I
think does she vote Republican,
then right? Political, like, nowadays, there are super certain things, yeah. Like, if the way that somebody leans, like, that actually might be important to you as well. So you probably do want to, like, you know, talk a little bit about politics. Ro in the chat said sleep habits, night owl or early bird. Or also, yeah. Like, it's also,
that can change over time though too.
Also, like, sexual expectations and orientation, like, that's also a conversation that you probably want to have. Mm-hmm. Like,
can also change over time.
And that can also change over time. Exactly. Like, so, and those are all things you probably want to discuss ahead of time to know, for sure. I hope we threw out some good suggestions.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a lot, because there is that caveat for a lot of things of, like, could change over time. Even, like, do you want kids? Could change over time. You know, like, those are important topics to talk about, but so many things could change over time. But if you at least can have some sort of, like, base,
right,
and understanding of each other, then
then you can deal with it as it arises, if it arises.
Mm-hmm. Another question that I think is actually incredibly important that you probably want to bring up is, how does she view the role of extended family within your marriage?
That sounds very important to your particular situation,
because
like, are you looking for somebody from the same cultural background, or like, are you open to people from multiple different cultural backgrounds?
And well, it sounds like all the people that his parents are suggesting, so they must be from similar cultural backgrounds.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, like, my brother married into an Indian family, and, you know, he's very white, but he's very much a part of the family. And sorry, Gabby's going crazy.
Shani's got a cat butt in her face, in case anyone's wondering.
Yes.
She heard the music. Just like, face, play it more.
Why are you recording on my bed? Like, I'm just trying to be comfortable here.
No, she heard, she heard the song, and she was like, it might hurt dog's ears, but I sure love it.
But mine's good. No, but, like, my brother, like, doesn't come from the same cultural background, but has, like, been very much, like, not adopted, you know, obviously, in quotes, into the family. But, like, and they have kids, live near her, my sister-in-law's parents, and, like, you know, they're very close to the family, and, but, you know, good stuff to know.
Yeah. Well, also, you guys could have similar cultural backgrounds, but you're a different generation, too. Like, like, our parents' generations and our grandparents' generations, like, we are, you know, you're 32, we're 38. I'm saying we're all millennials here, so that's when I say our generation. Like, first of all, it's also crazy that you're 32, because I guess when I first met you, you were, like, 21 and I was 28, and I feel old now, but there's that. super old. No. Seriously, though, like, our generation tends to have, even if we come from and are close with a generation that has different views on family and the role of family in a marriage, like, you know, you might want less of, you might not want, like, you know, your in-laws living with you and you, you know, probably you don't want to talk about, you know, that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah. Good
yeah.
to know.
Yeah. And I think it's also to, like, change the script, to flip the script a tiny bit. Yeah. I think it's also like doing a little self-reflection and sort of what is important to you. Because yes, like a lot of these things are like all of these things are very important and discussions to have, but like not all of them are necessarily deal breakers for everybody.
Exactly.
So like maybe you are cool if you guys have different political backgrounds like that, you know, that might be fine for you. Or like maybe you don't care if like, you know, the money thing. Like, it's just deciding where your lines are and what things you definitely can't live with and what things you can and what things are sort of ambiguous. Like, just really having a better sense of what you want out of life, I think, then helps you decide how to fit someone else into your life. Like, knowing what you're willing to accept and, what you're not, I guess, is ultimately what I'm trying to say.
Well put. Yes.
Well said.
All right. Well, if you have any follow-up questions, we are here and we would love to discuss this topic more. Seriously. Yes. Seriously. So
we want an update.
We want an update. Speaking of updates, over in the chat, checking back in, Brian says that he is a button then zipper. Rose said, I thought I only zip then button, but now I'm not sure. I haven't worn pants since May or June.
Yes. Well done, you.
And Rose says, Matt says, Rosie O'Donnell was also the voice on the subway in the last episode of Russian Doll, which I totally didn't pick up on, and now I need to go back and listen.
What an interesting factoid to have in your back pocket there.
Right?
How did you know that? That's amazing. I didn't pick up on that either.
And then going back to JJ's email, Greg says, I don't think you've said it, but religious beliefs should be covered. It's easy to dismiss others' beliefs, but for some people that will shape all their relationships, and that is worth discussing early.
Absolutely.
Yes, totally.
And can also change over time.
Yes.
Could also change over time.
But yeah, no, I agree. Definitely very important.
Yes.
Stuck around for the credits. Oh, what a good TV watcher you are.
Oh, thank you for that email. I think he's a first time, a long time. So more emails.
Yeah. Yes. We love when new people
now that we know
us.
That you're listening, write us back.
Moving on, we have a email from Brian, not Brain, the non-DP specialist.
All right, I can read this one.
All right.
Brian writes in a big old thank you. Bonjour, Shandy, Amanda, and Colleen. It's been a while since I've contaminated your podcast with my ramblings.
Spoken like a true biologist.
Hope you took full advantage of the break and got your cootie shots. I sure did. Oh my God, I forgot to mention that. I got 3 shots on one day.
Nice.
And then felt kind of like shit the next day, but I got the new COVID booster, the flu shot, and my third and final shot of the HPV vaccine.
Nice. So,
nice. That's a lot. That's a lot one day.
And I have a literal bruise on one of my arms, but I'm fine now, but I noticed that today. Anywho, Brian continues, have you all been doing well? I hope Shandy has maintained her COVID virginity. As far as I know, knock on wood, as far as I know. How's school going for ZNA? Any tales to tell? Amanda, what's new with Homegirl? It's been an eventful month for me with a return trip to Uganda for work. This trip had a surprise bonus night in Amsterdam thanks to the airline industry's woes, which is not too shabby a place to be stuck. The real exciting part of the trip was getting to work in Queen Elizabeth National Park for 5 days.
Rest in peace.
The drive to and from our lodging to the new lab there that I assessed was essentially a safari drive, and many zoo animals not in a zoo were seen. The bull elephant and his buddy blocking our road for a while was a real treat.
Awesome pictures on Facebook.
Yeah. But better than that was getting to work with my branch's ecology team to trap Egyptian fruit bats in Python Cave and then sample them so we can look for various viruses. No big deal. The no big deal was added by me. We also attached small temporary GPS units to a few dozen bats to track how far they range at night and if they go to specific spots. Identifying those spots tells us where potential outbreaks could begin. That was a professional bucket list item for me, and I can't wait to do it again. It was fun handling the bats. Their little faces are ridiculously cute. They really are fascinating animals. Also, it is always a joy working with our Ugandan colleagues and collaborators. It's the best I've felt professionally in years, and I did listen to some of the broadcast on my travels.
Aw, thanks.
That's all lovely. Now on to the subject line. Thank you for making this podcast. Aw. The excitement in the previous paragraph notwithstanding, the last 3 years have had too many personal, family-related, and professional difficulties. Some woes in all three categories have certainly been fueled by the pandemic, but whoever has the voodoo doll of my wife and kids really piles on sometimes. Mm. We've survived and are stronger for it, but we are fairly battered. I know a whole bunch of us are battered by life at this point. You all have brought me a lot of needed distractions and laughs and serious, thoughtful moments too. Many weeks having this show to look forward to was a bright point, and that really helped get me through to the next week. Over the last 6 months or so, I've had a ball writing to you, and I've had a blast with our exchanges and getting to know you a bit. I'm quite thankful to the Real World Sisters crossover episodes, which brought your attention to my show.
Strike that, reverse it.
I'm quite thankful the Real Weird Sister crossover episodes brought your show to my attention. So from the bottom of my heart, I thank you for being the genuine, awesome people that you are and for making this show. Know that you make a positive impact. You three drink for free at the get-together next May.
All right.
Okay. Tell us twice.
I'm here for that. Yep. Between you and God, man, we're covered.
Yeah.
I've heard tales of your epic consumption, so hopefully I won't have to sell a kidney or dance on stage. People will pay a lot of money to keep me from doing that, to cover the tab. On that note, have an excellent and groovy week. Your friendly neighborhood Brian, the non-DP specialist. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Brian. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome.
It's very nice.
Thank you for listening. It has been awesome to get to know you more and listen to more, read more of your emails and exchanges over the last 6 months as well. So please don't stop. Don't be a stranger.
Don't be a stranger. Yes. And your trip sounded absolutely fascinating. I'm in awe of what you do. Speaking of like making the world a better place.
Yes.
Like you quite literally are doing that. And you're getting paid for it, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Kudos to you.
Very, very cool.
Yes. Thank you, Brian. Moving on, we have our final emails are from Andy. Amanda, do you want to take these?
I suppose out of process of elimination, I believe it's my turn.
And our first... first of two emails from Andy? Am I seeing this? Yes. Okay.
We're going to do both?
Yeah, they're both short.
Sure. We'll do both.
Okay.
Okay. First one. This work week in Andy's virginity. Hey, broads. While any updates in that realm are still elusive, I have a work update. This literally happened the day after your last report. The day before, I took the day off for my doctor's appointment, and when I came back, the new guy wasn't in. Mm-hmm. I emailed my boss, and it turns out he took a leave of absence for at least a month. So for the last 2 weeks, I have been flying solo again, and there hasn't been any sign yet of them finding someone else to fill the third position. While his leave of absence came out of the blue, I am not mad at him. I'm sure he has a legitimate reason. It's not like if the last guy tried to take a leave of absence. Unlike that guy, current new guy helped tremendously get us up to date and actually showed up every day on time. Still, I'm in the same situation I've been in for most of the last 2 years. I'll let you know how it goes in a few weeks when the month's up, but for now, I have no idea what's going on. Hashtag I'm with hers, Andy. And then the follow-up to the follow-up, next email. Hey, broads, a quick update into my work situation. After about 6 months, I had someone interested in the position of the third person in my department. Her first day was supposed to be a week ago, but over that weekend, something happened and she changed her mind.
No.
Oh, that sucks so bad. This week is also the last week of the new guy's leave of absence, but as you can probably understand, I'm a little reticent to assume he'll come back. In his defense, I don't think he'll flake out, but leave for a legitimate reason. That said, it still sucks being stuck as the one constant member of my department for most of the past 2 years. As much as I don't want to, I feel I may need to ask for a raise if this is going to continue.
Do it.
What do you mean don't want to?
Do it.
You should. Anyways.
Whether or not it continues. Yeah.
Were they going to fire you and have zero people there?
Exactly.
Anyway, I'll let you know how it goes when we get into it. Hashtag I'm with hers, Andy. Yeah. Why would you not want to ask for more money? You just built a case for us.
Yeah.
And who doesn't want to make more money? I think you should.
Ask for that raise.
you clearly have the track record to back it up, my friend.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Pivoting back to the comments for a second. Oops, sorry. Someone else's lights on their iPhones just turn on for no reason.
All the time.
All the time. Why?
All the time.
It's because
when I'm trying to like put the baby to sleep, it's terrible.
We all did the tap thing.
Yeah, but I turned mine off when we did that.
No, because I couldn't figure out how to do it because of the case I have on my phone. So I didn't actually do it. I went along with you on the journey, but I didn't actually do it.
Okay.
I turned mine off.
I have this like thing here. Yeah. So when we're in the car, it like sticks to the like device.
Right.
So I can use it for like a GPS because we got old car that like doesn't have all the Bluetooth fancy schmancy business. But anyway, continue. But I go off.
I was saying, moving on. Thank you for the update, Andy. Moving back into the chat, Gott says he's had 4 COVID shots. Congratulations, you're officially a Democrat.
how many tequila shots, though?
Yeah, but how many tequila shots? If it's not double that, then you're not an honorary broad.
I was going to say one per shot. One for one, but I like your way better.
Yeah, one before the shot and then one to chase it after the shot.
It's all the pain and then one to reward yourself.
Yeah. I like
your way better. Let's do
that. Yeah, like shot, booster, chaser. And then Brian said there's cool bat videos, but that doesn't work well in an email. Well, you'll have to share them with us some other way then, because super cool.
Yes.
All right. I think that's it for tonight. Yes, God, I know you've been a registered Democrat for 2 years. I was just making a joke. I was just teasing you because I feel affinity and fondness for you and wanted to tease you. No, but seriously, I think that wraps us up for tonight. We will definitely...
The computer made it!
The computer made it. I know I've been really like, I'm like, okay, she's probably got like 2 hours. We got to make sure this is good.
I got 26% left.
Okay. Yes. I'm going to talk real, real fast. And then I'm going to play the really shitty sex music as we get out. All right. Anyway, thank you all for listening. Thank you, chat, for joining us. It was lovely as always.
Yes.
Put it in your calendars. As of right now, our next patron hangout will be October 11th. That is a Tuesday. So please stay tuned for that. Check out Survivor. If you're a Survivor fan, Survivor JJC is back. Jamie Joe and Jack and I will be talking about Survivor within 15-20 minutes of the episode airing.
That's this week, right?
That is this week. So the first episode, as you're hearing this, has already come out.
Also, I would like to say, because I did listen to the preview show.
Didn't I shout you out for something?
I'm trying to remember what you shouted me out for, but also I think Jamie at the beginning, she was referring to a player And she said my name, and I think she meant Shan. And she, and, but it was in the context of like an actual player, like, oh, they shandied it or something like that. And I was like, you know what? I'll take it. And like, nobody corrected her. You guys were just like, yep, yep.
Yeah, of course.
I don't even think I noticed that.
That was the first, I was like, did she, I had to, I like rewound because I was like, did she just say my, yeah. And nobody, yeah. Yes. And you did shout me out later on and I appreciated that. So thanks.
You're welcome.
But it was a good listen as always. Haven't looked at the cast, but I've heard you guys talk about them. So
I'm well, you know what? Jack hasn't looked at the cast either and he's podcasting about them. So I mean, really, it's fine.
That's pretty amazing.
I love Jack's new fuck it attitude towards talking about anything.
But it's funny because there's like a wide variety of sort of like preparation, like
prep level
of preparation that goes into the show. And I think that's super relatable to a wide audience because it's like the same thing with the show. There's like, I mean, I hadn't seen any of the cast videos, but I still listened.
Yeah.
So I can appreciate somebody who just showed up. But it's nice to have other people like you who like watch the videos and can tell us about it
too. Anyway, all right, dates. Next patron show will be October 11th. We hope that you will join us. On October 4th, we'll be in the Shakespeare movies. Matt has very kindly put in the chat Romeo and Juliet, the, you know, Leo DiCaprio version. That show is less than 25 years old, right? That movie, so Leonardo DiCaprio can still watch it. No? Nobody knows this joke? You know this joke, Amanda.
28 now, I think.
It's aged out. Leo doesn't date anybody over 25. He breaks up with them once they hit 25. That's the whole thing. Google it, Shandy. The internet has been having super, super fun.
Well, because that's the thing. That they're having it because it's like his current girlfriend is actually, like, he's breaking his rule.
Who's his current girlfriend?
It's an actual rule that he has.
He broke up with her.
People noticing that he
broke up with her.
It's a trend.
Yeah, yeah.
It was one of the Hadid sisters.
Oh no, she doesn't want anything to do with him. They're just hanging out. But I heard a source that said
I get
that,
my information from NPR.
She's 27.
What do they know about pop culture?
Yeah. No, she leaked to all the blogs that he's essentially like, bless his heart.
That is so disappointing. It's like so predictable.
Yes, it is.
But
anyway.
Also so disappointing. Can we not have one? Just like,
well, he's just trying to be our generation's Jack Nicholson, or I guess the Gen X Jack Nicholson.
He just can't let go.
Yeah,
just, you know.
Speaking of that,
was clinging.
Oh, I see what you did there.
No, I didn't even do that intentionally. That was unwittingly witty.
Oh, take the credit. Take the credit.
Actually, I think I stole that from Wait, Don't Tell Me. Again, I get all my information from NPR guys. I'm a good public media employee.
Yeah. All right, so anyway, the movie's too old for Leonardo DiCaprio to date, but we're still going to watch it. Much Ado About Nothing. I think it's the 93 version. It has What's-Her-Face in it.
It's everybody. It's like
everybody
Emma Thompson, in it. Denzel is in it. It's the Kenneth Branagh-directed version.
Thank you.
He is also in it.
And then,
it's like everybody. I think there was like a shot of, oh, God, what's his face? Keaton.
Michael Keaton?
Michael Keaton. He's in it, too.
Oh.
Like everybody is in this movie.
And then
I don't know why I've never seen it. I've never heard of it before.
Yeah.
Though I vaguely remember sort of. Those two are on HBO Max, and then O is on Pluto TV.
Is Pluto TV?
Exactly. What?
We'll figure it out. We'll Google it. It'll be other places too, I'm sure.
I thought Pluto was one of those fast fine. Channels. I didn't realize it was like
maybe it's on like Sling. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Is it a channel? Is it not a channel? Are we gonna take away its channel status?
Hey, speaking of Jack Nicholson.
When we were kids, it was a channel. Now it's not considered a channel anymore.
I get where you're going there.
Sorry. I see what you did there.
It was real dumb. But.
It was like, no, that was actually a very smart joke. So it took me a bit to catch up where we were.
I loved it.
Yeah, I'm here for it now. Okay. It was very clever.
It was like a dad joke, actually.
I love dad jokes.
I'm here for it.
I literally have had segments of this show with me reading stupid jokes. I'll add that one next time, Shandy. Matt said Pluto TV is one of those free streaming services. Cool.
Free. I like that.
I like free. Hey, speaking of Jack Nicholson, I watched this show on Amazon Prime. Alex and I were both sick on Friday, and it's called Panic. And it's like this, it's only one season it got canceled. It's based on a book, but it's like this cheesy teen drama show. But it's actually, it's like really good popcorn TV where it's very suspenseful. Every episode has like a cliffhanger. The kids reasonably look like they're 18 years old-ish. I really liked it, actually. There's a lot going on. Like, it's a lot of teen drama, but I super actually enjoyed it, and I think it's probably for the best it doesn't get a second season, because it's definitely one of those shows where it was written for the book, and all the things that are going on are fucking insane, but, like, it's contained within the storyline, so, like, mm-hmm. moving out of that source material might ruin it, a la Big Little Lies. But if you're looking for something to watch that doesn't take a lot of commitment, I recommend it. It was actually really fun. And Jack Nicholson's son is in it. And one of the best comments I read when I was reading about it after I was done was somebody was like, the argument that nepotism isn't big in Hollywood is this is the best that Jack Nicholson's son could do. But it is really fun. So if you're looking for something to watch that's kind of like a summer beach read, but like a TV series, there's 10 episodes. They're like 45 minutes each. I watched it literally in a day, and I really liked it. So the end. Nice. And it had a fun soundtrack. All songs I didn't know because I have aged out of all of them. But
so it's nice to visit what the youths are listening to.
Exactly. All right. Anyway. Shakespeare Movies 10-4. 10-11 is the Patreon. The next Patreon's Hangout. Halloween movies, we will announce within the next week or so. What we're watching is the 18th. And then our Halloween costume required party is on the 25th. That will be over Zoom, so we hope everybody will join us. Okay, I think we're done now. If you have any feedback to anything that we've talked about tonight, or anything you want to just tell us in general, thebroadcasters3@gmail.com, or give us a call, 331-276-2373, or you can just leave a comment on the Facebook page. We don't care at this point. That works, too. Weigh in on the zipper button zipper debate.
Please.
Always. Mm-hmm. Always a good time. Thank you again, Manny, for that. And then thank you to the patrons, especially the ones that contribute a certain level, and that would be Eckhart Rickner Tack from Tokyo, Maggie the Magnificent, Joanne with a Plan, and Ed the Creepy Poopyhead Mailman. If you'd like to become a patron, you go to patreon.com/jayandjack. Okay, I think I'm done for real. Anybody else have anything else? All right, well, on that note, my name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Peace out, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.